Today, the Supreme Court agreed to hear a partisan gerrymandering case out of Wisconsin that could potentially affect election maps across the country. At issue is whether Wisconsin's new election maps unfairly and unconstitutionally give advantages to Republican voters and marginalized Democratic voters. For more now, Emily Bazelon is with us. She's a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So tell us, first of all, more about the redistricting process and the resulting election maps that are being challenged in Wisconsin. What was the issue?
Well, what happened in Wisconsin is that the Republicans had control over the redistricting process because they controlled the assembly. And this is based on the 2010 census. And they redrew the district lines for the state assembly in a way that yielded a supermajority for Republicans. And this is, even though Wisconsin generally is a very purple state, it's a place where Obama won in 2012, but Trump won in 2016. It has one Democratic and one Republican senator. So you see a kind of even split in the electorate, but then a state assembly in which the lines are jiggered in a way that makes it easier for Republicans to remain in control.
And the court has heard gerrymandering cases before and has struck down election maps, but on the grounds that they discriminate against minority voters. It's never struck down a map because it discriminates against voters from a particular political party, right? So how significant is that?
You're right. And that makes this case very significant. The Supreme Court, in a big case in 2004, left open just a crack in the door to the idea that a partisan gerrymandering challenge could succeed. So we have this separate box for racial gerrymandering in which the court, because of the Voting Rights Act, does worry if voters are having their power diluted on the basis of race when district lines are drawn. But if you are gerrymandering because you're trying to help your party, you're trying to put more Democrats in office or more Republicans, that has generally been viewed as constitutional. However, Justice Kennedy in this 2004 decision held out a kind of space for a successful challenge if someone could come up with a workable method of explaining when gerrymandering goes too far. And the plaintiffs in this Wisconsin case won in the lower court, and they think they do have that kind of formula. And so now the question is how the Supreme Court, with Justice Kennedy at the center, will handle this challenge.
And when will they hear this case? Do we know?
They will hear this case presumably in the fall. It could be in the winter. There was another important development today, which was that by a vote of 5-4, the court did not allow the lower court order to go into effect, which would have required the legislature to redraw the lines in Wisconsin before the 2018 election. And so that decision, with Justice Kennedy siding with the conservatives, may suggest that he doesn't see this formula as like the whole Holy Grail of partisan gerrymandering, that in fact he is willing to stick with the kinds of lines that the Republicans were drawing in Wisconsin.
Are people still wondering whether he's going to resign this summer?
People have been speculating about that a lot. Now, some court watchers this morning said, well, the fact that they took this case and that he obviously has been the deciding vote suggests that he plans to stay around next term. That's a little too much reading of the tea leaves for me into this one case, but we will see.
All right. Well, the court also issued a number of decisions today, including one where the justices ruled unanimously that offensive or disparaging names can be trademarked. That case involved an Asian American band that wanted to trademark the name The Slants. What did the justices say there?
The justices said that this clause in the Federal Trademark Act that says that the government can reject a trademark because it's disparaging to people, in other words, because it's offensive, that that clause is a violation of the First Amendment. So in other words, the government should not have the power to reject a trademark application because a lawyer in the trademark office thinks, huh, The Slants is an ethnic slur. I don't really care if this is an Asian American band or someone else. I just don't think that's okay. That kind of judgment and rejection of a trademark is now unconstitutional.
In another very different First Amendment case today, the justices struck down a North Carolina law that banned convicted sex offenders from social media. What happened there?
That's right. So the state had a very broad prohibition against using social media once you are convicted of a sex offense. The person who challenged the law was just talking about a traffic ticket he'd gotten on Facebook. Nothing to do with his previous offense, nothing to do with sex offending or children. And the court said that's just too broad a prohibition. And there's a lot of language in Justice Kennedy's majority opinion about the importance of the internet as a kind of place where everybody is talking, a new sort of public square. And so the court is saying, look, to have a completely blanket prohibition where you say a former sex offender can't in any way communicate in a social media platform, that just is going too far.
Just a few seconds left, Emily, but what are the big cases we're waiting on?
We are waiting on a case called Trinity Lutheran that is about the Establishment Clause. It's about religion and whether a state that is providing aid that's goes to lots of different schools can deny it to a religious school. So this is a kind of flip inversion of what we usually think of as religion rights. And then we're waiting to see if the Supreme Court will take the case that President Trump wants it to take defending his travel ban.
That's Emily Bazelon, staff writer at The New York Times Magazine and fellow at Yale Law School. Emily, thanks.
Thanks for having me.